Midlife in our 40s and 50s can be a challenging time. So many things are changing: our bodies, our health, our relationships, our work, our responsibilities, our dreams. We try to balance everything, but sometimes it can be a struggle to keep our bodies calm in the face of adversity, our minds consistent against distractions, and our hearts dependable in defiance of enticement. But what if we gain greater self-knowledge to gain wisdom? Wisdom to acknowledge and handle our ignorance, uncertainties, and limitations. Wisdom to know that whilst we can certainly achieve external success using our strengths, we can also gain character acknowledging our weaknesses. And the wisdom to know that whilst a lot is up to us, other factors such as luck, societal expectations, and perhaps fate itself conspire to test our journey through midlife. A journey from which we might not only ask, what do I want from life, but what does life want from me? Drawing on a myriad of research from scientific studies, philosophy, life coaching techniques, and anecdotal tales, the Midlife Maps podcast provides a reliable source of introductory information for this much understudied and often forgotten period of our lives. So join the Midlife Maps podcast as we find a map to navigate that. 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. So quipped George Washington Carver. Hi there, my name's Samantha Sashin and welcome to Midlife Maps, the show for navigating our 40s and 50s. Today on our show, I'm joined by Melinda Ashford, my super duper co-host, and we're talking about making changes in midlife. In midlife, it's very easy to find ourselves in the jungle of mediocrity. With our work, our relationships, with ourselves. Unfortunately, we find ourselves burdened with feelings of resentment, inadequacy, or a general dissatisfaction with the way things are. But most of us want to leave this jungle with a legacy, a sense we've at least considered the meaning of our life and so made the most of it. But how to do it? Well, stay with us because we're going to find a map to navigate that.
We acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge their spiritual connection to country.
Thank you, Mel. So, why can this jungle of mediocrity be tricky? I love that word, mediocrity. I don't know, I just love that word. It was like that tennis player, Ivanisevic.
You're doing well. Keep going.
I just love this word. Anyway, moving on. This jungle can be tricky because swathes of feelings can creep up on us rather than fully hit us in the face, kind of like mold, kind of like the mold that you had in your shower.
Ooh.
Mel, gradually creep up on us
and
rather
you stare
than
stare at it every
yeah,
day. And go,
yeah, exactly. 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 So, you know, these feelings of resentment or inadequacy or just a general feeling that things just aren't quite as they could be, they just start festering within us as we remain where we are. And they keep growing until finally some extreme consequence, either of our own making or of others, explodes. So, Mel, have you ever had an example of where you've just put up with things, either in a job or people?
I've got a couple.
Yeah?
A couple with myself working in the education department in schools. I'd been pretty much unhappy for a couple of years. You know, at the start of the job, you know, you think, well, you're making a difference. You are making a difference. But there was just things creeping in and changes coming in that just didn't align with my goals and my values. So it was just, oh, ignore that. Just get on with it. You're here. It's local. Go with the status quo and things like that. And I knew one day, oh, I'll leave, you know, this is the year. No, it's not. This is the year. No, it's not the year.
Apparently it's not the year.
It's not the year. That's right. And you know, you stay for the reasons. You stay because you're competent in the job, your colleagues, you know everybody, and you're comfortable. But it was that I always put my, well, I can't leave until I have something to go to. A vague idea that was just too vague. And so I'd just stay. Whereas in the end, I just went, I'm too busy looking behind. I need to look future.
Ah.
Look in, you know, what that future might change and what that might look like. So when I let go of what I was doing and could then grasp onto the possibilities, that's when I was really ready to leave and to go the next step. But then I have another family member who had been in a job for many years, totally didn't like it, liked the monetary rewards but not the actual job itself and what came with it, and was basically doing the whole, hopefully they'll fire me.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll fire me. Would give every reason for people probably to want to fire them.
How much harder do I have to try?
Yeah, that's right. As opposed to making that change themselves.
Oh, that's interesting.
They were so resistant to making that decision and having that fall on them, I think.
Right.
They would rather, you know, put things in place to get fired.
And did they?
Work just slowed. And so then they had to.
Okay.
Make changes.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, they just really didn't have that confidence and that they just had the fear to make that change, that, you know, held by fear.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fear, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Sorry. Jump straight in there.
Two very interesting examples there, which are very interesting about making changes. One thing I noticed that you said, a lot of looking back when you were trying to decide essentially whether to take the leap of leaving a job, looking back a lot, which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in this jungle, is it in the jungle of mediocrity, is it in our interest to be looking back when we should be looking forward, trying to cut a trek through the jungle?
I think it's making excuses and go, well, see, that's the reason why I should stay. Or that's a reason why I should stay. Or I was made a difference there, or I really connected there, or I'm needed. Whereas, yeah.
But as you
just
say,
clasping at straws, I think.
Yeah. As you say, making excuses, which really then tie down, it always comes down to one of our three universal fears, which is either fear of not being loved, fear of not belonging, or fear of not being good enough. So, you know, making excuses can keep us stagnant.
Yeah.
Let's say we're standing in the one spot in this jungle and just not moving anywhere, either, even backwards. We're just kind of standing there looking around.
And we're not meant to be stagnant creatures,
well, we're not,
are we?
We're not. So we're just kind of standing there, you know, in there. And look, that can happen in lots of situations in our lives, in our relationships, whether it be marriages, friendships, work colleagues, jobs, obviously, lots of different situations where we just feel that we've perhaps just been here too long.
Choices where we live.
Yes. And we just, sometimes it's not easy to put the finger on why exactly. And it might not be just one reason. It can be a myriad of reasons that we're just not acknowledging, or we don't want to acknowledge, but we just can't help but have this feeling in us that it's just not right.
Yeah.
We're meant to be moving through the jungle, not stagnant.
Yeah.
But we just can't seem to find the trek through. But, of course, moving through this jungle of mediocrity is – I know, I love that word – is important, because really, let's be honest, most of us want more than just, you know, eat, sleep, work, repeat.
Yes.
Don't we? We want more than that. We want more than a bare existence, and we want to leave a legacy.
Yeah. You're looking for you may be looking for a challenge, or you may be looking, there's something that's unsatisfied within you.
Yeah.
That will prompt you to shift out of that box, or shift
through the jungle.
Trek.
That's right. We don't shift through jungles. We trek. Let's use the proper terminology.
Sashay.
We're trekking.
Sorry.
It's from our ballroom dancing days now. We don't chassé through jungles now. We trek. So, you know, it's important, isn't it? Because really, even if we're, and it's not even talking about being super ambitious career-wise or anything like that. It's not about that, about external, you know, rewards and trimmings. It's about us wanting to have a meaning for our life.
Have a need.
A reason.
Yeah.
A reason why we went through it all, why we're here, you know, why we're battling through whatever situations that we come across. It all must have some sort of meaning.
Yeah.
So we can only gain that meaning, though, through making changes. We're never going to understand the meaning of our life by standing still in this jungle of mediocrity.
No.
It's going to take movement.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What's that saying? Necessity breeds.
Ah, necessity is the mother of all invention.
Does that apply here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it does apply. Because necessity is often what just gets us moving.
Yeah.
And it really opens up our creative thinking into solving issues and moving forward and making changes. Yep. Necessity is the mother of all invention. Absolutely.
Mm.
That is very appropriate here. So I know that what I've gained from making changes, and let me say up front that I'm a person that generally doesn't have too much trouble making changes. Mm. I like the variety that it gives me, growth, the challenges. For me, it opens up elements of self-knowledge, like discovering my strengths and weaknesses. You know, can I do this? Can't I? So for me, making changes, I actually enjoy it, to be honest.
It doesn't scare you.
No, it doesn't.
No.
I mean, look, it's all contextual and it would, I guess, depend how great the change is. Maybe it came from my upbringing. We used to move around a lot. And so I went to a lot of different schools. So change just became normal for me.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, new city.
It's a challenge.
New school.
You see things as a challenge.
I did. Yeah, I do. I do. I really do. And it's like, okay, let's give it a go.
Yep.
I just always like, let's give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? If I don't like it, I can get out of it.
It's very pragmatic.
Yeah, you've got that approach. Yeah, it's very pragmatic. So for me, change, I do see change in a positive light. I understand and appreciate that many people don't. And, of course, it depends on a lot of things, your childhood, your experiences, personality, a lot of different things. So I appreciate that change can be very challenging for a lot of us. And it also depends where you are in your life. You know, there's some periods in your life where you just don't want any change. It's like, just leave me alone. I just want to do my thing. I don't want any more change or variety.
And the level of change that's required.
Yeah,
like you said, contextual.
Absolutely, it's contextual. So I know one of the changes that I made last year, it's been a year now of becoming I thought I was a vegetarian. My hairdresser tells me I'm a pescatarian. So cutting out meat essentially except fish. And I did it for a variety of reasons. And I personally are just feeling good. I'm happy with the decision. But, to make the change, I did my research. I found my why of why I wanted to do it. And then I just did it. I set a plan in process, I guess, what I bought for shopping, what I stocked in the fridge, how I was going to get around accommodating my partner who still eats meat, and that's absolutely fine, and my family, whatnot. So, I just made the change, made the plans, found my reason why to get motivated, still connect to the reason why to stay motivated, and made the change, and that's it. And I'm happy with that. So that's just an example of a change that we make that for whatever reason.
And you didn't find tricky.
Well,
like
no,
you say,
I didn't.
Like you say, you're not a person that finds it tricky. And
not really, because a degree is about commitment.
Yeah.
That if you make a decision that you're going to change something, and it can be anything, you know, even to speak to people in a nicer tone perhaps, or to say hello to strangers at parties, you know, things like that. I am the type of person, if I make that decision, I stick to it. So there is definitely a degree of commitment here, where if you're going to make changes and make them count, because remember, if you want to change a habit, for instance, they say it takes 40 days to change a habit on average. So it is about commitment and consistency. And I know that My eldest son and I talk about this often in the sports world, that the greatest players that are held up in highest regard, if you strip away everything, oh, they might be great goal kickers in footy or great shooters in basketball, but really it's all about that they made changes to perhaps their technique or their training regime or whatnot, and then they stuck with it. You know, they're consistent. They're just consistent. So making changes is one thing, but carrying it through is all about consistency.
So, makes sense. Yep.
But what I want to get onto next, Mel, I hear you ask. Well, you're not really asking, but I'm just telling
but
you.
But I'm pleading with my eyes.
You've got a puppy dog look on you. And what you're asking me now, Mel, I can see that is
hey,
that,
Sam.
Yeah.
What can we gain?
No, we've already talked about that, Mel. Oh. You're a little bit behind that. What we're getting on to,
stop it.
To now, Mel, is since we're in this jungle of mediocrity, what tools do we need? What tools do we need in this jungle of mediocrity? So now these all come from the self-knowledge toolbox. And the first one is our knowledge of our beliefs. Okay, so beliefs is obviously critical if we're going to make changes, because we really need to know which beliefs are limiting us. So, you know, a lot of beliefs emanate from childhood, and so we need to look at them holistically to see how they've permeated the way we think. And then once we know what they are, then we can change them. But if we don't know which beliefs are holding us back, well, it's pretty hard to move through this jungle of mediocrity. So that can be tricky, but it is very, very important tool in this jungle. So another tool that we need in this jungle, Mel, is to know our values. And why do we need to know our values?
For the direction that we're going to go in, because that leads me into those kind of stages of change that we need to go through, that pre-contemplation. Pre-contemplation and before, you know, where we're not even thinking about what it is, you know, we might want to be quitting smoking. We'll take that one for an example.
Yep, good one.
You know, you might know, you know, it's not good for you or anything like that, but in pre-contemplation, you're not even considering, not even starting to think about that. You're denying that there's a problem, you know, you show up. And you feel demoralised when anyone talks about it in those kind of situations, and you just kind of feel you've got no control. So it's best not to think about it. And then there's contemplation where you're starting to go, oh, okay, maybe I should be doing something, or you begin to think, what would it look like? What could I be doing? What would I struggle with on the day-to-day task of maybe thinking about stopping or reducing? And then, you know, preparation, what would you put in place, like we've talked about before, you know, if you're trying to eat healthy or, like you say, about going pescatarian, well, that's where you make your changes in what you buy and preparing.
Absolutely.
And those actions. So that all does come from your beliefs and values. So that all stems into those particular stages of that, stems into what you're saying about what you know of yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, that's a very good point, Mel, because there are stages that we go through when we are deciding to make changes and, you know, and we've got to go through them because they're important. And examining our beliefs integrates into that as well, and so does our values, because, as you just said, the values are our guiding force behind the decisions we make and the behaviours that we exhibit. So. And they're important because it's actually when we maintain our lives in alignment with our values, that's when we actually experience greater levels of fulfillment. But it's actually really, and we've talked about this on a previous podcast on values, so I won't go a lot into it, but it's just so critical that we know what our values are, our leading values at the time that we're making changes, because the changes that we choose to make, if they're aligned with our leading values, they'll be easy to make.
That makes sense.
They'll be easy to make. So my change to pescatarianism was easy for me because it was in line with the top value of health.
I was just going to come to, health.
Yeah, and the environment and whatnot. So for me, it was an easy change, almost, as you say, a no-brainer. So, but when you go against your values, as you were saying in your example with the job, where that job was starting to...
Yeah, be incongruent.
Yeah, incongruent with your values, that's when you know that change, making a change is looking pretty imminent. Because you otherwise, if you don't, that grate between your values and, you know, the values of the organisation in this case, it just got, you know.
Yeah, they're just wider and wider, and then you're resenting, and then you're not necessarily not achieving, but your heart's not in it as much.
Absolutely. So I really can't emphasise examining our values enough. That's why we did a whole podcast episode on just values. They really are the compass that drives our lives.
And longevity and health, like you said about health. If you, you're thinking not just today, but your long-term health, you know, what you want to be doing in your 70s, for example.
Yeah. Well, and then, that helps you decide which changes to make because you line it up with your values. So it's so, so important and such a – we have to have this tool as a tool when we're in this jungle of mediocrity and when we're contemplating making changes. So that's values. That's our second tool in this jungle. Our third tool in this jungle is maintaining certain standards. So this links to our values and beliefs, and it asserts that certain standards must be maintained in our presence. So, for instance, one might be your children, no swearing around you, or things like that, or crudity. Okay. I know there's a limit. I put a limit as much as open as I am and like to think I'm a, you know, trying to be a cool mum. But there's a limit on the crudity that I'll accept from my boys in my presence, and particularly in my auntie's presence, that I just, it's just a standard that I've set down. So another common one is how your partner treats you in public. We've all had those, have you? I know you have, I have too. Those conversations, you've gone out with your partner and then, you know, you're all putting on the face kind of thing and going through the mechanisms, and then my goodness, you get back in the car. So why did you say that?
You didn't back me up.
You didn't do this. Why did you do that? You know, that kind of stuff that hasn't been perhaps pre-negotiated.
It's very important, that part.
Before you've gone out.
It's all in the planning, like every podcast. It's all in the planning,
people. It's all in the planning, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, to be honest, my partner and I have had those conversations, particularly in the early days when we had cultural differences because my husband's Polish, and language differences because English is his second language. So there were certain, things like, oh, you don't be saying that. And and for instance, certain swear words are normal in Poland.
Right.
But I said, no, you can't be saying those words in company. And he had to really adjust, but I had to kind of, pre-plan that and say, well, this is the way that, you know, is it? This is the standard that's expected, basically.
Yeah.
So, so that's very important tool to have in this jungle of mediocrity when we're contemplating making changes. It's what standards do we want to keep maintained, and that will help, you know, determine.
And setting expectations high.
Yeah, you know, which they don't, whatever that means to you.
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah, whatever means to you.
Mm.
You know, we have this ongoing thing, you know, how I shouldn't say this probably, but about tracksuit pants going out. It's just me. I just have this thing about, you know, tracksuit pants are for home and why do we need to go outside? And you and I
I don't share this view.
Disagreed about this.
I do not share this
view. So, and that's fair enough. You know, we come from different...
I will not be track shamed.
different perspectives. So it's whatever standards are applicable to you. So so that's the point of...
Good to clarify,
Point three. So how else do we exit this jungle of mediocrity? I hear you... Here you are, Mel. Well, it's probably an obvious one, but be open to new opportunities. You know, just kind of, didn't you say in another episode that you had, were we talking about New Year's resolutions one time? And you said opportunity
was my word.
Was your word,
it was my word for 2022.
Right, 2020. Oh, you remember the you remember
I was going to take everything as an opportunity instead of seeing something as a challenge or anything like that. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity that's presented itself to do something different.
Mm.
Whatever I could reframe things, I use that. And I still do now.
Yeah, you do.
I still do now. And that's opened my awareness to it, that, you know, how we approach and perceive different situations as they come our way. I can use that reframing to narrate a different meaning or different pathway through my jungle. Who would have thought?
Are you in a separate jungle to me? I thought we were in the same jungle, Mel. You've changed. Oh, you've changed. Get it? Making changes. So you would say that that strategy works for you?
Yep.
Seeing things as opportunities rather than challenges. Where's the lesson in it?
Where's the lesson in it?
Absolutely. Yep. I know I always thought job interviews, I always saw it as an opportunity rather than a challenge. So I said, well, we're just going to have a chat to see if I'm a fit for them, they're a fit for me. And at the end of it, then you just go your separate ways. You know, it's just a chat. But, yeah, it's an opportunity. So it's
and I can say those words that you just said, but then to feel them and action them are really hard.
Challenging.
Yeah. So I have to really work on that myself because that's a situation where I'd go, life depends on it.
That's interesting.
And I have to go and really reinforce it to myself that it's just an opportunity. It's just what's the worst going to happen? You know, take that meaning away, that emotion away.
Yes, what we've talked about before, taking the emotional charge out of things with your most blandest food, substituting that in. Have you come up with...
No, I was contemplating that yesterday. Yeah. I was contemplating that yesterday and it turns out it's still on the board.
Oh, my goodness. This is going on for months now. We need to find your blandest food and you substitute it in whenever you need to take the emotional charge out. So it's not an interview, it's dot, dot, dot. For me, it's wholemeal spaghetti. For you, well, we don't know.
No.
It's a mystery of the universe.
Watch this space.
Okay. All right, so we've got a few tools. What else can we take into this jungle? Well, what about an ability to view the bigger picture? What about the ability to say, hey, you know what, if I don't get this job, am I going to appear on a current affair? Are they going to come knocking on my door saying, what? Why did you not get that job? What is happening with you?
And there's freedom in that.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But just this whole, as you say, reframing and just saying, well, you know what, the world doesn't depend on you getting this job, for instance, or, you know, if I make this change, then, okay, it might ruffle some feathers temporarily, but really people just get on with their own lives and are just trying to get through their day the best they can.
And there's an element of, you know, staying in a job because you're people pleasing.
Oh, yes. That's a common thing, isn't
it?
That's a very common one. Yeah, especially for females, to be honest. We're all about relationships and, you know, looking after each other and not upsetting each other and whatnot. So, that is a common one. Which ties into our next tool of just accepting that we're only human and we're all just doing the best we can with what we have at the moment. So, you know, if we make a change and it doesn't go the way that we hope it goes, well,
you tried. You at least made that change.
Exactly.
And what they say, you know, you're looking at me like Not attempting to make that change is the error.
Yes.
In a different way. You know what I mean?
I do.
But being too scared to make that change.
Yes.
There's no lesson in that. There's no gain in that.
Yeah.
But actually making that change and making a mistake or having something not go right, that's another opportunity to make it.
Well, yes. I think the closest proverb I can think that kind of is similar to what you're saying is that better to have loved and lost than never
something
to
like
have
that.
Loved
yes.
at all. So something like that. Better to have made a change and it stuff up.
Attempt and
Than stay in the same stale spot in this jungle, then move about and explore, you know, the region around you.
Yep.
Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. A knowledge of our strengths and weaknesses is also a good tool to have to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if if you know that you want to make a change in a certain area, it's good to know what strengths you're taking with you that will help you,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps which weaknesses might hold you back a little that you can work on or that you have to find a way around. So for me, patience isn't one of my natural attributes, as you know. So I have to really work on patience. I have to really do a lot of self-talk, calm down. Mm. But it's something I'm aware of so that if I make changes, I can take that into account and almost kind of, I don't know what the word is, talk myself gently through it.
Put strategies in place to work through it and to learn, you know, test yourself through that and to measure that. You know, like I was just thinking, if you're going for a new job, your weaknesses isn't a certain area in that job. Well, that's an opportunity to learn, whether that's through professional development or do some education around that. So
absolutely,
that's your area to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, interestingly, from a sociological point of view, just quickly with relation to strengths and weaknesses, it depends on the culture you come from. In a Western culture, it's mainly all about strengths. And the narrative is, don't worry too much about your weaknesses. Just, you know, carry on with your strengths, build those up, focus on those, and everything will take care of itself. Now, in other cultures, though, around the world, they take a different approach where it is about bringing up your weaknesses and working on them. Yeah. Mm, so depending on which perspective you have, I tend to subscribe to the second option, where I think that strengths is great for gaining external benefits, you know, that job, that relationship, whatnot. Mm. But weaknesses are good to build up to build a better character. So
I was just going to say, is this where faith and religion comes into?
Oh, wow.
I know I'm not going too deep because I'm not that person to
a curveball
to hang anyone's hat on. But faith, people of religion, they work on themselves, that internal and that self-reflection.
Well, yes. Mm. I mean, a lot of aspects of faith are about character.
So. Yeah.
Building character, developing character. Mm. So with my weakness of not being naturally patient, but I'm trying to work on it.
To be gracious.
To build a better character, to build a better character of myself so that I don't get angry with people if they're not, going at my perceived speed or things don't go my way or things don't come in at the speed I want. So I think, it is an element definitely of building character, which is – related to what faith does. One of the things it does is trying to build up character. So it's a very, very important tool of if you're planning to make changes, it's just to have an awareness of what our strengths, is to know when our strengths and weaknesses are. Mm. It's very important as part of the self-knowledge umbrella. And yes, I think, Mel, the proverb you might have been thinking of was, if not now, then when?
Yes.
And that's very important. It's a really big coaching question as well. I mean, there are many questions we coaches ask. But one of those is if a client is contemplating change, you know, obviously talking about what potential barriers are in the way and what they can gain and whatnot. But, in fact, I remember talking, I was working at a job and I remember being in the lunchroom and this lovely, lovely young woman, we were talking about her aspirations, what she wanted to be, wanted to work as. And she'd always wanted to be a teacher. And I'd said to her, just a simple question, I said, so why aren't you doing it now? And she just looked at me and she said, I don't know. And I said, but what are you waiting for? Is there a sign from the universe you're waiting for? Why?
All the ducks in a row.
Yeah, which ties into what you say in the proverb. If not now, when?
Yeah.
When will you do it? When? And she, God bless her, she then quit her job where we were. And she went on to teacher's college and sent me quite a few messages, just saying, wow, it was just the kick that I needed. Just simple questions. I didn't, we were just having a conversation. That's all it was, and that's all coaching is. Just just a conversation of, well, what are you waiting for? Why, if not now, then when? When
I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but a friend of mine I worked with, one of my work besties, I had lots. I still have lots.
Talk yourself up.
I got them everywhere. She said to me once, she said, so talking about doing the study, and I was, you know, talking myself out of it and going through the pros and cons, and she's going, oh, well, let's just think about it this way, Mel. If you're on your deathbed, are you going to be at the end of your life going, I'm really glad I didn't take an opportunity. I'm really glad that I just stayed put and didn't risk anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so satisfied.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I thought, a lot of things. I called her a few things. But it was that perspective.
Here.
Yeah. It was that perspective that just did help a lot. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you put it like that.
Yeah.
You're really going to be happy that you didn't take a risk, you didn't take a chance on yourself.
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? And again, that is a coaching question. And it is about leaving a legacy, because that's what making changes. In the end, that's what we're all striving for, as I said in the introduction, to give our lives some sort of meaning for the battles that we go through on a daily basis or through our lifetime, to give it all some sort of meaning, to make it all worthwhile, worth the journey through this jungle that has thick scrubland in it. It's all got to be for some sort of outcome, some sort of reason, some sort of legacy, absolutely. Mm. So when we're sitting on our veranda in our rocking chair, surrounded by our family members.
In our trackies. Sorry.
Melinda Jane, no, not in our tracksuit pants. But anyway, we'll talk about this later. Yeah, you know, what kind of experiences and legacy do we want to relay? Yeah. And will it be about, as you say, well, you know what, back in the day, you know, I took this opportunity to make changes in a direction, and it's almost irrelevant whether it worked out or not.
Yeah, it's you're
really
right.
Really isn't even the issue.
The status quo is pretty boring, really, if you go with that.
Be.
Or mediocrity. Now, that word's coming to
mediocrity,
me now. It's all really. Are we going to be satisfied with it? You know, I didn't do too much outside my, you know, I'm a simple person. I didn't do too much here or there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't,
I mean, is it going to be enough when we're when we're sitting on a rocking chairs in our non-tracksuit pants? And as I said before in other episodes, regret is the one emotion that nobody can do anything about. We can't do anything about it. And, of course, we're going to have some regrets going through life, but surely life is about minimizing those regrets, you know, doing a bit of risk assessment and just minimizing the number of regrets that we're going to have there at the end of days.
Yeah.
And it's all about, moving, making changes, moving through this jungle, eat just small steps. Doesn't have to be great leaps.
I think life is trial and error, isn't it?
Absolutely. We don't have the playbook, and we're all figuring it out as we go along. So we're all doing the best we can with what we have. And so in that sense, also what we need is a sense of gratitude moving through this jungle of what we do have. Mm-hmm. And rather than resentment for what we don't. I had an example the other night where my auntie, she really is nostalgic about living in Italy when she was younger and whatnot. And she was looking through a photo album. She said, I didn't make it past the third page. So I was just pretty much upset about, you know, what her perception of what she'd lost. And I said, but what if you look through the framework of gratitude that you had the opportunity to have such a vibrant and diverse life that encompassed, you know, at least three different countries that she lived in. She, you know, she's bilingual. She's met so many people along the way, had so many adventures. And looking at it through that framework, a sense of gratitude rather than a sense of loss.
Yes, so, they're polar opposites.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, that helps us make changes as well and be at peace with some of the changes that we've made in the past. Mm. You know, yes, some of them didn't work out. Some of them were the best decisions we made. But it doesn't matter. The point is we were brave enough to make them.
To have a go.
To have a go, exactly. So that's very, very important. And finally, the final tool in this jungle, I will just say, is just having an awareness of where our focus is and whether what we're focusing on at the time in this jungle is resourceful or not. Are we focusing in on something that doesn't really matter? And that's taking time away and energy and focus away from making changes that do matter. So
that's a good one to end on.
There you go. Yeah. What do you think of this jungle, Mel? All good?
I've stripped it right now.
You stripped it. Sorry, excuse me.
I see a clear path.
Oh, you see a clear path.
I see a clear path. Stop it.
No stripping in this jungle.
No, there's too many mozzies for that and snakes.
Too many mozzies. Sorry. Got to get you. In our next jungle, Mel, I am providing you with a mosquito net, okay?
Thank you. No snakes. But I've got my big boots on.
Got your big boots on. Good job. Well done. Okay. Well, that's a wrap from Mel and I. As always, you can find further information on this and other interesting topics on the Midlife Maps website. Thanks for listening. And as you continue to navigate midlife, remember Guns N' Roses' insightful words, "Welcome to the jungle."